The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on the subject of suffering. Suffering means having what you don't want, or wanting what you don't have. And of course, as a Christian, I look at suffering in a very different way from that in which the world looks at it. The world thinks of suffering as an unmitigated evil. Well, not me. I know that it has been through my deepest waters and hottest fires and darkest valleys that God has taught me the deepest lessons and the most eternal lessons. So let's just face it, much of what you hear on this program makes practically no sense to anybody but a Christian. And yet, I'm sure that there are some of you listening to me who would not call yourselves Christians. Some of you might be in despair right at this minute, longing for what you can't name, maybe feeling weighed down with tons of guilt. Maybe you're feeling helpless. Maybe you're just convinced that you're not good enough. Yet you're suffering. You're lonely. You're wistful. Would you be willing to listen to a little poem written probably more than 100 years ago by the same lady that wrote that so well-known gospel song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know"? Anna L. Waring wrote this. "That was the shepherd of the flock. He knew the distant voice of one poor sheep astray. It had forsaken him, but he was true and listened for its bleating night and day. And thou, fallen soul, afraid to live or die in the deep pit that will not set thee free, lift up to him the helpless homeward cry. For all that tender love is seeking thee." Would you like me to read that again? I think I will. "That was the shepherd of the flock. He knew that the distant voice of one poor sheep astray. It had forsaken him, but he was true and listened for its bleating night and day. And thou, fallen soul, afraid to live or die in the deep pit that will not set thee free, lift up to him the helpless homeward cry, for all that tender love is seeking thee." He is calling you, you know, you who wouldn't call yourselves Christians. He is there. There is an answer for whatever your despair may be. There's an answer for the guilt, and it's the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm thinking of a woman that I know right now who is in the hospital. She's had a stroke. She's close to 90 years old. And we've had some conversations in the past about whether or not she trusts Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was reared in a very strong Christian home, but it's not really very clear to me whether that woman has put her trust totally in the Lord Jesus. And one of the things that she said to me is, "Well, you know, I'm not really so bad. I don't know why you talk about all this sin stuff. I'm not a big sinner." Well, you don't have to be a big sinner, you know, but if we have offended in one point, the Bible says, we're guilty of all. And so let's not be making comparisons. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, and I'm no worse than so-and-so. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin if we confess them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now imagine a world in which nobody had anything he didn't want. No toothaches, taxes, touchy relatives, or traffic jams. Maybe your sufferings are small ones like toothaches, taxes, touchy relatives, or traffic jams, not big things like tumors and divorce and abuse. But if there was a world in which nobody had anything he didn't want, now try to imagine a world in which everybody had everything they wanted: perfect weather, perfect marriage, perfect health, perfect score, perfect happiness, with money and power to boot. The world that you and I live in, however, is full of good things that we can't have and bad things that we don't want and much worse things than toothaches and traffic jams. The world we live in, we're very much aware now, is filled with war, famine, drought, floods, oil spills, volcanoes, cancer, AIDS. In 1 week, I kept track of the tales of sorrow that came to me in that 1 week's mail. This is the list: desertion, death, disease, divorce, depression, alcoholism, addiction, abuse, homosexuality, and suicide. That's 1 week's mail to one woman, me. Hardly a day closes without news of a broken marriage or broken health. I have a friend right now whose wife has given him 2 more days to get out of the house. Malcolm Muggeridge wrote, "Supposing you eliminated suffering, what a dreadful place the world would be. Because everything that corrects the tendency of man to feel over-important and over-pleased with himself would disappear. He's bad enough now, but he would be absolutely intolerable if he never suffered." I have to agree with Malcolm Muggeridge on that. I think I agree with Malcolm Muggeridge on just about everything I've ever read that he's written. But he puts his finger right on it there, doesn't he? Suffering corrects the tendency of man to feel over-important and over-pleased with himself. It would be awful if that disappeared. He would be absolutely intolerable if he never suffered. Every time we have something we don't want, or want something we don't have, it gives us an occasion to examine ourselves. I want to read to you from Hebrews 12, verses 6, 8, and 11. It's talking there about the discipline of God and how suffering gives us an occasion to reset our priorities and our sights and to confess our sins. Discipline is administered by a loving Heavenly Father who, the passage says, lays the rod on every son whom He acknowledges. That's God now who lays a rod on every son whom He acknowledges. Discipline, no doubt, is never pleasant. At the time, it seems painful, but in the end, it yields for those who have been trained by it the peaceful harvest of an honest life. People have said to me, "Do you really think God punishes us? I thought He was a loving God." I think the answer is clear here. He lays the rod on every son whom He acknowledges. Isn't that punishment? Don't we deserve it sometimes? Of course we do. But let's never forget that God does not deal with us after our sins or reward us according to our iniquities. If God meted out the punishment that you and I deserved, we would be in big trouble, wouldn't we? He doesn't. He is merciful. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Suffering is an occasion for growth in holiness. Paul himself was in danger of spiritual pride when God gave him that thorn in the flesh to prevent him from having that. When Paul refers to the troubles that he had that came upon him when he and his companions were in the province of Asia, and note that they had these troubles when they were faithfully doing God's work. It had nothing to do with disobedience. But Paul says the burden of it was far too heavy for us to bear, so heavy that we even despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt in our hearts that we had received a death sentence. But does Paul go on to charge God with injustice? No, he has learned something. He says, this was meant to teach us not to place reliance on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Well, if the great and holy Apostle Paul was tempted to place reliance on himself, I can assure you that Elizabeth Elliot is often tempted to do the same. I know that I have to work hard in order to do the will of God. But if I imagine for one moment that just working hard is going to produce a helpful radio program, or just sitting myself down to my computer is going to make a book that's worth other people's reading, I'm kidding myself. In the first place, I couldn't take another breath if it weren't for God. I couldn't move my legs to get out of bed. There wouldn't be a computer on my desk. There wouldn't be a room to sit in. There wouldn't be a house. All of these things come from God. Don't ever let us imagine for a moment that we are independent. Suffering is a reminder that we are helpless. And at that point, we lift up our hands and say, Lord, save me.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.